You know, we've had this series on healing and deliverance, and we've been focusing on it for several weeks. Maybe 10? This is our 11th week. And, you know, we're going to be bringing that to a close for that series, but we will never, never stop teaching about healing and deliverance and how to receive the blessings from God. As long as we live in this body, and as long as the devil has not been thrown into the lake of fire, we will continue. That's one of the mandates for this church to even be here, to tell the truth. And whosoever will receive. So we're going to be talking about healing and deliverance again today. Wow. You know, I can say that we will continue to speak about receiving the blessings from God. I can say that with confidence because I read the Word. I know what the Word says. It's my anchor. It's my anchor. If you're dealing with something that you're struggling with, God's got it. I may not know how long the struggle will go on. It really all depends on us. For me, my deliverance came, it was when I said yes, when I believed. Yeah, the enemy played a part in that. But you know what? Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Last week, I had brought out this copy of a newspaper that I had picked up in New York when we were headed on interstate up to upstate New York. Remember this? I brought it out last week, if you remember. And the reason that I brought it out is just why I picked it up was just evidence to show how we need to be able to discern between truth and lies. As Christians, we need to know what the truth is. And so, you know, this it's a picture of Ivanka Trump. And this was right when our embassy was moved to Jerusalem, okay? And that's when this picture was out. That's when we were heading up to upstate New York. We were heading towards the Adirondack Mountains. And the article's entitled, Daddy's Little Ghoul. Daddy's Little Ghoul. What does that suggest to you? Daddy's Little Ghoul. And then down here it says, 55 slaughtered in Gaza, but Ivanka all smiles at Jerusalem embassy unveil. That suggests lies. And do we know that? Do we know the lies behind that? Do you know what the truth is? You know? It suggests that Ivanka is evil because these people were being slaughtered. They were protesting and they were trying to control the protesters. But the article doesn't say that the protesters were using explosive devices. It was not a peaceful demonstration, folks. It was not peaceful. The embassy was moved to Jerusalem because it was supposed to be moved to Jerusalem, their capital. Their capital. The article doesn't say that these people were slaughtered. They were hurt because of their own poor choices, their own wrong decisions. I understand that our friend Jonathan Shuttlesworth is going to be in Asbury Park tonight. You know, he came here for his Festival of Life, and he invited several churches to join him, and there were multitudes that received Christ during that Festival of Life that was held here in Whitehall. I know many of you helped out at that festival. Well, he now has one going on at Asbury Park, New Jersey, this week. And there are churches coming out against him. Because he is full of hate and he's full of bigotry. Lies. And we didn't know what... He is God's man. He's an evangelist to come and share love, the truth. The truth may hurt some people who don't want to believe it, but he's operating in the gifting that God has given him to do. to go and share. People need to hear the truth. And you would think that the truth would be coming through pastors and churches. But we need to be really very full of discernment in these days, in these last days, guys. We got to know. You know, I'm not saying all this to all be political, but we need to know what's truth and what's not. We need to be able to discern what the lies are and what the truth is. I said last week that fathers have a very important role here to play, you know, to share their the truth with their children, you know, to give them a good anchoring so that they can discern what's truth and what's a lie. God's word is truth. And everything we look at or hear, we have to look through it through a filter. And the filter is the word of God. That's our filter, okay? Kathy, could you bring up our first scripture? Woo! John 17:17. This is what Jesus said when he was praying to God the Father about his disciples. We are his disciples. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Your word is truth. Jesus said that God's word is truth. That's our filter. How we act, what we believe, what we see, it's filtered through his word. His word is truth. Kathy, could you go to the next scripture? Psalm 119:160. The psalmist said, "The entirety of your word is truth." The entirety of your word. Whatever you say, God, is true. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Forever. His word is forever. Now look at what David says in 2 Samuel, Kathy. 2 Samuel 7:28. "And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. And you have promised this goodness to your servant." Let's look at another one. This is what the widow said to Elijah after God raised her son from the dead through Elijah. Kathy, 1 Kings 17:24. "Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth.'" The word of God in our mouths is truth. She spoke that rightly. God's word is truth. It's truth. And his word will stand forever. Kathy, could you bring up Matthew 24:35? This is the NIV. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." God's word will stand forever. Fake news will not. Lies will not. Oh, some people may empower them for a time. We may empower those lies if we believe them and if we speak them out of our mouths. We need to be able to discern the truth. The only foundation that our lives could be built upon is the truth. It has to be built on anything else is sinking sand. It's got to be the truth. And the word of God is the truth. So we need to get to know God's truth. We need to get to know his word. That's our anchor. That's our anchor when storms come. And they'll come. Storms will come. You all may be in some storms right now. The anchor's got to be the word to get you through them to the other side of that lake. To their side of that journey. It's got to be the word. We need to be strong in the word so that when the winds and the lies and the fake news and all that stuff come our way, we know what's truth and we stand on that and we're not moved off by it. No matter what it looks like or smells like or feels like or how long that storm is, we stand. As I pray for each message every week, I use a lot of commentaries. And one of the commentaries that stood out regarding to the subject that we're dealing with, healing and deliverance, came from Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary. Kathy, do we have that? Okay. This is what it says. The closer we cleave to the Word of God, both as our rule and as our stay, the more assurance we have of deliverance. Amen. We're still talking about healing and deliverance as being, some of the many blessings that we receive from God. Now, that word deliverance there, it's all inclusive. It's freedom from whatever binds you, whatever tries to bind you. It means salvation. It means healing from sickness. It doesn't matter what kind of sickness it is. Doesn't matter. It includes forgiveness. It's all inclusive. And the word of God here in Matthew's commentary, that's referring to the actual written word of God and to Jesus, who is the word of God. Okay? Jesus is the word, and he and the word are the same. Kathy, John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So Jesus is the Word. Matthew Henry is saying there that the closer we cleave to Jesus and His Word, the more assurance we have of the deliverance that His Word gives us. As children of God, we have a covenant of blessing with God. It belongs to us as children of God. We're children of God. So the blessing of God should be operating in our lives just as it did for our father, Abraham. Abraham was our father. our spiritual genealogy goes all the way back to Abraham. Yours and mine goes all the way back there. If we're born again, we are Abraham's descendants. I'm German, but I'm also a descendant of Abraham. If we're born again, then we're Abraham's descendants, and we are heirs to the covenant that God made with him. Kathy, could you bring up Galatians 3:29? Says, and if you are Christ's, if you are born again, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. During the last message that we were teaching on healing and deliverance, the series, I referenced Galatians 3:13 and 14. Kathy, could you bring that up, please? Galatians 3:13 and 14. This is what it says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Ha ha, we're included here. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. And then when we looked at that last time, we also looked at the blessings. We pulled them up. We pulled them out of Deuteronomy 28. We read the blessings. We read the curses. And we're not going to go over all those again. You can get those on. That was part 10 of our series. You can get any of these series parts just by signing up on the back table. They're free. We're not going to go over all that again. But I do want to look at when God made his covenant with Abraham. And in order to do that, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, okay? Remember what Jesus said, God's words never pass away. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That includes us, right, guys? We should be blessed, right? That Hebrew word for bless, Kathy, is the word barach. It means to bless abundantly, to salute, to congratulate, to thank, to praise, to kneel down. To honor, to congratulate, to thank, to praise. Blessings. They're available to us. In the case with God, from his side, he's the blesser. He blesses. He's the one who does the blessing. And you can read on all the way through Scripture. You can see how God blessed Abraham abundantly. He prospered him in every area. Genesis 13:2 says that he became very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. And I want to go on to Genesis 17:1. Okay? When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, this is verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Next scripture, verse 6. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. So this is where God's covenant of blessing to Abraham started. It was started in Genesis. It's a covenant that will stand forever to Abraham, to all of his descendants, and all of his heirs. We are part of we're part of that. That's our inheritance. I'm going to look up that word covenant, Kathy. Covenant. The Hebrew word is berit. Berit means a covenant. It's a compact. It's a pledge, a treaty, or an agreement. A covenant can be made between individuals. It can be made between a king and his people. And it also can be made between God and his people. So here in Genesis 17:7, God is saying that he'll be God to Abram and his descendants forever. His blessings, his promises apply to his descendants. And that covenant is a blessing. It's everlasting. So if we're born again, we looked at Galatians 3:29. It says, you're Abram's seed and heirs to the promise, right? We're heirs. We saw that earlier. And Galatians 3:13 and 14 said that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles who are in Christ. That's our inheritance, guys. That belongs to us by faith, through faith. We are heirs to the Abrahamic covenant. And God has empowered us, just like Abraham, to be successful in every area of our life, to prosper. That's his will. He wants us to prosper. And you can read throughout the whole Bible how Abram's descendants were blessed as they believed and as they acted on what God said. Isaac, Joseph, David, you can read about, you just read about them, but we are heirs. That's the point I want to make. We are heirs, just like Abram's flesh and blood, like his children. We are co-heirs with Christ. That's how we can tap into those blessings. You know, this series has been going on a while. We had a couple breaks in there, had some interesting things going on. We had the inner healing seminar going on. We had Prophet John Mark Poole here last week with us, and that was awesome. This series took us through the Easter resurrection holiday. And so we were able to pull all those things out. Where do we get these blessings? How do we get them? Someone paid a high price for them, for us to have a very high price. So all the blessings of Abraham belong to us by faith. And that includes healing and deliverance. Okay. We also studied all that in our Identity in Christ series when we were looking at that. And I had said the reasons why we were looking at this series originally is because, you know, Christians get sick. Christians, you know, they struggle. We have to deal with some things. And so there are some things that try to bind us. And so healing and deliverance is part of the gospel. And that's what we were emphasizing through this whole series. As a result of this series, we have Barb and Phil Olson coming back and training up a team, in a team from Word of Life, training up a team so we can be more effective in this area of healing and deliverance. That's a result. We also got supernaturally, God just connected us to Rodney Hoag, the author of that book that we have available back there. And I did get to speak with Rodney this week, and that was also another supernatural thing. On my emails, you know, he gets thousands of people contacting him, you know, and the emails went to spam. And so we're praying. Lord, just let him see those emails. I need to connect. He wanted me to connect by Facebook, but I don't do Facebook. I don't even know how to do Facebook. So like, God, connect us another way because we need to talk to him because he said he'll come in October. And so I get this call this week, and he said, I found your email in my spam folder. How many times do you check your spam folder? So anyway, he's coming in October. Write the dates down, the 20th and the 21st. He will be here. He's calling it Freedom Weekend. Yeah. It'll be mass deliverance. But you know what? You don't have to wait till October 20th or 21st for the man of God to come. I mean, God uses him mightily. You know, Randy Clark uses him. He's the class instructor. If you go out there, he'll teach on deliverance. And he speaks very plainly, very simply, not real difficult. But anyway, you don't have to wait till October 20th or 21st. Take the word. Take the word and receive. Receive it now. One of the things that I was impressed about when we had Barb and Phil here teaching on inner healing, and she said that out there at Randy Clark's ministry, they have this ministry, it's called Connect Up. And the purpose of that ministry is to connect you up to God. Whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever the situation is, he knows the way out. So ask him, you know, ask him. Whatever the problem is, he knows the way out. And so I thought that was, I really liked that focus. And that's what we focus on. You know, if you need help, you know, we can help. Pastors can help. Friends can help. The words of knowledge. We like the gifts to be in operation, just like they were this morning. We are open to that. But you know what? When it really comes down to the nitty-gritty, it's what do you believe? What do you believe about the situation? God knows the way through it. Are you asking him how to get through it? He knows every step for you to take. I have plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and give you hope. God knows the way. We need to ask him. Scripture says, you ask, you will receive. But now that we have a part to play, right? We need to be obedient to whatever he tells us to do, right? Do y'all know the minister, Reverend Keith Moore? He was a teacher for Ken Hagen at their school. He ministers with the Copelands often. This is something a comment that he said. He said, if you look to the Holy Spirit, he will lead you out of sickness into healing, out of defeat into victory every time. Every time. And no two situations are exactly alike. But God knows the way through that maze for every single person. He knows it. So let's connect up to him. That's been a recurring theme throughout our entire series as well. Not to look to man, but to look to God. You know, we saw that God's already given us his spiritual blessings. We saw that in Ephesians 1:3. He's already provided all the benefits. Kathy, could you go to our next scripture? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals some of your diseases. It said all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, Kathy, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Whatever we need, God has already provided it. It's already there. As your friend and as your pastor, I have to just share the truth. And that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth, guys. I'm obligated to teach the truth. I have love and compassion because I was at a position one time when someone from the church, leadership of the church, said, "Oh, you can't expect a miracle." That's a lie, folks. Wow. Yep. You can expect a miracle. God's word says it. Right. He's provided all his blessings. All his benefits belong to us. We're children of Abraham. Amen. We're children of God. And you know, whether you receive what I have to say, you know, I'm hoping, I'm believing, I'm putting it out there for you to receive. But whether, you know, if we speak on healing and deliverance, and whether you receive healing and deliverance or not, I'm still going to speak it. I can't change what I say because someone is not cooperating.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I have to speak the truth. I have compassion. I have love. But I have to stick with the word. He says you're healed. He says you're delivered.
That's right.
Then be healed and be delivered.
Amen.
Whether you believe it and receive it or doubt and do without, I can't change my word. I have to speak the truth. And God's word is the truth. You know, I get excited to share this stuff. Because it's the truth. It's the truth that you get to share with people. I get to do that. You get to do that too. This isn't just for pastors to share the truth. We get to share the truth. I was walking through some of these things a few years ago myself. And, you know, and you could hear, you know, well, you can't expect a miracle. You can't expect a miracle. But, gee, that's not what I see in the Word. You know, the enemy could be putting symptoms on you. He could be doing things to you that you don't approve of. And you know what? You have an inheritance.
That's right.
That you need to enforce. You got it in the Word, so you enforce it. How do you enforce it? How do you enforce the Word? Use your mouth. Use your mouth. You know, we had the gifts operating today. We honor the gifts to be in operation within control, you know. One of the gifts that God has given me is I'm an exhorter. And, two years ago, we met John Mark Poole, the prophet we just had here this past weekend. He was down in Red Lion, and several of us went down to Red Lion to meet this prophet. And I had never met him before, never saw the guy. Didn't know anything about him, just was invited to go, and I felt we should go. So a whole bunch of us went. And there was just a small group of people there. But, you know, we're in this setting, and John Mark Poole starts giving words out, kind of like he did here just last weekend. And he looked at me, and he says, "You're an exhorter." I never met the guy. I know I am, but he doesn't know me, you know. But God was working through the gift and downloading some information to him. I'm an exhorter. And it's really easy being an exhorter. You know, that's a gift that God gives to pastors. I mean, you others could receive it too, but it's to encourage people in the Word of God. To encourage, you know what? You know, if life deals me, lemons, I'll make lemonade every time. Amen. Every time. You can call it positive thinking, but you know what? It's easy to exhort people, to encourage people when they're dealing with stuff, because I know what the Word says, and He doesn't lie. So I can share that. It's easy and it's fun. It's really fun when you see people receive and walk in their miracle. It's exciting. You can do that. You can do that. Incidentally, when we were down there, John Mark Poole then looked at my husband. He looked at my husband, and it was just awesome. He said to Gary, he said, "You're balanced." Now, I know my husband, and a lot of you know my husband too. He is balanced. His feet are solid. Yes. He's not wishy-washy. He's steady. Anyway, just the gifts. You know, when the gifts are allowed to operate, you know, God is so, so good. And just I'm just going to share some things that back then that he said. And now that I know that I'm an exhorter. That's what he shared with me. And that my husband is balanced. I know that. He never met us. He never saw us before. But he went on to say, some things about the church, and this is what he had to say. Since I understood what he said about that, I was willing to listen to a little bit more. And this is what he said 2 years ago about our church. You're part of this church, okay? About bringing healing to the valley, about changing the valley of dry bones and bringing life to it. The valley of dry bones. He didn't know what valley we were living in. We were living in Lehigh Valley. But the valley of dry bones and bringing life to it. How we will affect our city and the world. We've already been seeing it in dribs and drabs, you know, but God's got so much more for us. I'm looking for that hill that he just spoke about last week, right? We're looking for that hill that's got a warehouse on it. Awesome. Okay. Also, in the teachings, I forget which part it was in, but I shared one of the testimonies from Brian Wills. Remember Brian Wills? Yes. He was diagnosed with the terminal cancer, and he is the only one before and since that we are aware of that was able to survive from Burkitt's lymphoma. And he wrote this book. It's I'm trying to go quickly here because of our time, called 10 Hours to Live. I recommend that book to anyone who's walking through anything. It's called 10 Hours to Live. You can get it on Amazon. I took it into a young man this week who, you know, has been going through some things. But I took it in because in the first two chapters, you don't have to even read the whole book. Just read the first two chapters. He shares how he walks out his miracle. I mean, in the natural, that guy would have been dead within a few days. But he shares how he walked it out. If he could do it, you and I can do it. He was tapping into those blessings that we just talked about. He was tapping into his inheritance. That was the how-to. He gives the how-to in the first two chapters. I mean, the rest of it is really good, too. But if you want the how-to, he does it. And it's all the things we've been sharing here, you know, whosoever will. Whosoever will. But anyway, one of the things that he had in his book I want to bring forward This is what he says, four things that we need to know if we're battling sickness or if we need deliverance of any kind. Number one, he says, you have an enemy. Oh, we know we have an enemy, right? Obviously, and his name is Satan. Number two, you are in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. So we got to fight it spiritually. You know, if I pull out a Smith & Wesson, that's not going to work. We need to fight spiritually. We pull out the sword of the Spirit. That's how we fight. Thirdly, he says, Satan has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that. Okay? And number four, but God's plan is greater. John 10:10, he has greatness for us, the abundant life. We can live it here now if we choose. It's that Zoe life. Your healing and deliverance is not based on your physical condition. It's based on your position in Christ. Are you Abraham's seed or not? Are you born again? Kathy, could you go to the next scripture? I'm not sure if I'm missing something here. Okay, keep going to Colossians 1. Keep going. There we are. Okay. Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's qualified us. We're qualified to be partakers of healing and deliverance and all the blessings that He's already given. And that said, it's past tense. Whether you understand it or not, or whether you've been participating in it or not, you've been delivered from darkness. Do you know it? Have you enforced it in your life? That's the truth. God said it. I didn't say it. God did. And so we speak the truth. But why does it seem like the enemy has so much power? Why? Why does it seem like that? We are the ones who empower him. We are the ones who empower him. Just like, you know, the fake news. If we don't buy into it, it'll fade away because it's not true. This will never fade away. We need to buy into this. That's our anchor. That's our anchor. You're delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and that's the truth. Does it matter what you're dealing with? Does it matter what you're facing? You are. You either agree with it or you don't. The devil was stripped, and his buddies were disarmed. Every single one of them. I like the way Andrew Womack puts it. He says, the devil is a big fat zero with the rim knocked off. Love it. Love it. You know, we're told to speak to the mountains and command them to get out of the way. But we cannot build mountains and tear them down at the same time. When you build a mountain, when you're talking about your symptoms, when you're looking at your symptoms, woe is me about my symptoms, you're building that mountain. You're building a mountain. God says, tell the mountain to go. Amen. We command it to go. Mark 11:23-24. Speak to your mountains and command it to go. You know, a lot of people say, when is God going to heal me? When is God going to deliver me? He already has. Do you believe it? He's already paid the price. Really, the question should be, when is my healing going to manifest? When is my deliverance going to manifest? It'll manifest when you say, when you're in agreement with God, when you speak it out of your mouth, when you're believing it in your heart. If you really believe that word, and you're saying it out of your mouth, if you believe it, it'll be coming out of your mouth. Not as a plead, oh, please, devil, please leave me alone. No! Get out in the name of Jesus! You speak with authority. You don't put up with that stuff anymore. You're an heir. You're a child of God. Are you hearing me, church? Are you hearing this? This is the truth. I'm telling you, I'm not lying. It's the truth. I had to learn it myself, though. I had to learn it. I didn't know because I was taught the wrong things in my church. That's why we're here now. We get our mouths in line with the Word of God. Thank you, God, for my healing. I thank you that your power is in me and it's working in me now. It's driving out the enemy in the name of Jesus. You speak. You get your mouth in alignment. Every day, Lord, I'm getting stronger. My body's getting stronger. My mind is getting stronger. I'm walking this thing out. What's the next step, Lord? What was it? Okay, I'll do that. We're getting our download from God. Yeah, I love Barb and Phil. We don't need Barb and Phil, though. We got Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost living in us. I love Barb and Phil. Thank God for Barb and Phil. Maybe some do need Barb and Phil. But anyway, we've all got the Holy Spirit. We've got God living inside of us. You don't need anything. We got all that we need. Know it. Act on it. Speak it. How do we go from I believe I receive to here it is? Pull out your Bibles. I'm going to look at it quickly. Go to Romans. This is the how-to. Let's look at it. Romans. Running out of time here, but Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read really fast, okay? But I want you to see this. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. By faith we receive. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. For us, everyone sitting right here in this room, everyone listening to me by the sound of my voice. It was also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. There's the how-to. The how-to is written in there. This is how to see a promise manifest. We follow our father Abraham. Verse 18, Abraham believed God. He believed God. He wasn't mentally assenting to it. He believed. Verse 19, he didn't consider the age of his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. There's a lot of dead stuff going on there, right? They were, Anyway, he didn't consider that. What did he consider?
The word of God.
What God said. What God said. What God said. Verse 20. He didn't waver back and forth between faith and unbelief. He did not waver. If you're wavering, guess what? That might be why you're not seeing any results. If you're wavering, can't waver. Also, in verse 20, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. And verse 21, he became fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Can God perform what you need?
Yes.
Absolutely. You believe that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Abraham based his faith on the word of God, what God said. Can we do that? Can we do that too? The Bible is the word of God. Kathy, could you go to, I think this is our last scripture. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. We need to stand fast in our promises and speak them out of our mouth. We need to be persistent. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. This stuff is real, folks. Can I get some help handing out some? I know we've got them all before, but just need them passed out again. Thank you. Just pass those out. You know, when I began this series, I said, it isn't my responsibility to get your healing or to get your deliverance. It's not my responsibility. It is my responsibility to tell you the truth, okay? It's my responsibility to present the truth, to share the gospel. And included in the gospel is your deliverance from anything that binds you, any sickness, anything that is coming at you. Okay. If you believe, that this stuff belongs to us, you believe that we can access this, let's activate our mouths with the word right now. I've handed it to you again. You may have had this handed several times, but I want to read out loud the first identity statement that's on your paper. If you could read it with me. We're going to activate this by using our mouth, okay? I am a child of the King. I am a co-heir with Jesus. All Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. I am united with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him. And I am seated with him in the heavenlies, far above all rule, all power, all authority, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I carry the authority of Christ. I have authority over sickness, over sin, over demons, and over the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I will displace the darkness. I have the full armor of God. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sandals of peace. I take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. For the weapons of my warfare are not fleshly, they are divinely powerful. I tear down the strongholds of darkness. I can do all things through Christ, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah! That's the truth. That's the truth. You weren't lying, guys. You were telling the truth. When John Mark Poole died on the operating table, he was taken to heaven, and God gave him a mandate. You can read it in his book. It's called Path of a Prophet. Okay, so when he went to heaven, God told them, go back and tell my people about the power of the prayer of agreement. We can pray the prayer of agreement with you. You want someone to agree with you? We got a team here. Team, can you come on up? You know, prayer team, come on up. If you need anything. You know, God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you well. In fact, he wants you so well, he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for you. He took all of that. If you have a need, I would ask you to stay. I know we've gone a little bit longer today. Just God had some things planned here that were awesome. So if you have a need, you can come on up. If you have no need for prayer, we'll dismiss you. I'm just going to pray the blessing of God over you, and you can take off. But if you want someone to agree with you, you come forward. And it'll be private. You can just, you know. But this belongs to you. You are heirs of this stuff. It's the truth. So I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for blessing them all. Thank you.